Andre Weisbrod, Director of Wealth Management at Quantum Financial Advisors, is here, and we're talking both stocks and exchange-traded funds. Welcome to the Money Life Market Call. It's Market Call time on today's show, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Andre Weisbrod. He's Director of Wealth Management at Quantum Financial Advisors. QFAinc.com is the website if you want more information. And yeah, because, well, they do a wide spectrum of things, we're going to cover a wide spectrum of topics. Again, where most Market Call interviews focus on one side or the other, stocks or funds. Well, today we're going to go both directions. And so I'm very happy to say, Andre Weisbrod, thanks so much for joining me on the show.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Now, we always start with methodology in terms of what goes into buys and sells. But with you being financial advisors, I know that there's one other step that I want you to explain, which is before you tell us, hey, when we're looking for investments, this is what we look at. Talk a little bit about how, before you pick investments for somebody, you kind of get to know the person. So in other words, there's a step that has nothing to do with the investments and everything to do with the investor that I know is important to you.
Oh, absolutely. The who, what, and when of people. I mean, we want to know who they are, what type, the personalities, the beliefs, whether they're risk takers or not. Secondly, what do they want to accomplish? I mean, whether it's with their business, their career, family, retirement. And also then, what are the time frames? I mean, when do they need money? These are crucial questions before you can ever intelligently organize a portfolio.
But once you've got that basic information, what's the process? Because you could be tactical, you can be strategic. How much of it is just picking asset allocation and deciding where you want to be, ETFs versus stocks, and what kinds of things you want to own?
All of the above. First of all, you want to have a strategic asset allocation. How much do you want to have in stocks or international or sectors that fit this person? So that's a big picture question. Then you go to your security selection. Depending on the size of account, may determine whether you can own individual stocks. A small account, it might not be as feasible. You might want to stick with ETFs or funds. And so then the security selection comes in within that allocation. Now, once you've done that and set up the portfolio, then it becomes a tactical issue, buying and selling, weighting. So there are times when you might want to weight more toward dividend stocks, as we've recently, had recently done toward the end of the year. There are times you might want to weight towards smaller companies and that kind of thing. That's tactical. You might run out of steam in a stock and peel off some of it. And then the other thing that we add on, we've got a proprietary, what we call the Delta Vega options strategy, and that's to enhance income and to manage risk. So you add all of that into the cooking, if you will, and you come out with hopefully a better cake or a better meal. And so that's what we do.
Let's talk briefly about the option strategy, because it's not something that every advisor does, and it's not something that every investor is comfortable with. But how do you explain what you're doing with what you called a Delta Vega option strategy?
Well, the best way for me to describe it for clients, and my partner Joe is the expert in this, so he's not with us today, but I'll give you an example. Let's say we have a stock that we think has gotten up into the higher end of its valuation. We don't see it skyrocketing up in the future, but we want to hold it for the long haul. That's a candidate to sell a call where somebody will pay you for the right to buy it at a higher price. And so what that does is that gives you income. It enhances the income, and a lot of times we'll be able to generate the cost of our fees, pay for them just with some of the options incomes, and it's low risk. So if if you sell it higher, okay, you're fine with it the way it is. So that's a phenomenological way, a simple way to describe it. It's more sophisticated than that, and the technology of it and all of that. And I would defer to my partner if you wanted to have him on another show.
Well,
really get into that deeply.
And Joe Rinaldi, your partner, was actually supposed to be our guest today. He had something come up and you graciously agreed to step in. At some other point, we can do a little bit more with him. So let's move from the basic strategy to what you're seeing right now. I mean, you talk about wanting to be a bit strategic and wanting to be tactical. So what are the places that you're looking to say, let's go here? And what are the places that you're cautious about?
Well, right now, I would say I'm overall cautious. I mean, we've had some significant gains. The markets, and especially some of the sectors, may have gotten a little ahead of themselves. A lot of it is anticipating this recovery, but we don't know what the recovery is going to look like exactly. So there are certain sectors that you might just want to be a little bit cautious of. So especially in some of the technology and some of the ones that everybody yaks about, and once everybody's talking about it and it's gone way up, I'm not sure I want to own it at that point. I'd rather it be a little more quiet. So what we did is last fall we did increase our exposure to small caps. We like utilities, higher dividend stocks. I mean, you're not getting much in bonds and cash. So what do you do as an alternative? Well, we thought utilities were a really great place because they were somewhat undervalued. They hadn't gone up a big deal, but you could get 3-4% or more in a yield from them. And that's turned out very well for us. We still like energy. We moved into some international, a little bit into developing markets, which has done pretty well for us. And then we have, for the long haul, what I call the gotta-have sectors, gotta-have stocks. Those are sometimes in technology, but sometimes they're just in the culture, the things that people need. I mean, energy, you gotta have it.
But when you're talking about something like energy and you say you got to have it, there are a lot of different ways to play it. We're talking about both ETFs and stocks. So how do you balance out? If it's energy, I'm sure you can tell me that there's energy ETFs that fit the bill. There's also got to be some energy stocks that fit the bill.
Sure.
How do you mix them together, and maybe what are they?
It depends on the clients. For ETFs, we like XLE. VDE also works. These give you a broader, more diversified kind of a show. We also invested in individual ones, Exxon and Chevron and British Petroleum. So we will pick some that we think might be a little bit better than the ETF or the broad range. But the ETFs are great, especially for the smaller accounts.
What about some of the other things that personify your must-haves?
Well, you got to have utilities. Okay, last time I looked, we all want our water and our electricity and our gas and all of that. So again, you can own an XLU is an ETF for that. That's going to be diversified. Or we own things like Dominion, Consolidated Edison, Southern Company, all of which, these are one of the few industries that are guaranteed to survive things. I mean, if they're not surviving, I think we're all going to get to the farm and go back to the Stone Age. So that's an example of a gotta-have. Another example of what we like as a gotta-have is an ETF called HACK, H-A-C-K, is Prime Cybersecurity. Well, guess what? Just what happened to that oil pipeline recently? We're all battling criminals and just bad people that want to interfere with our technology. Well, cybersecurity is a gotta-have. It's going to be here for the long haul. So those are a couple examples.
You mentioned some post-COVID plays, some things that would be interesting to you now as you make some changes. What are the post-COVID areas?
Well, as one who loves to travel and has experienced many things, in fact, we just got back from a trip to Costa Rica, one of the ones that we own is Carnival Corp, CCL. I mean, it's diversified in terms of it's got a lot of different lines, it's got hotels, it's got a lot of different things in it. And people now are itching to travel again. So we think that that's one that can come back. And if it does come back, it could come back very strongly. So that's one of the examples. The other one that we own is JETS, U.S. Global Jets. Duh. I mean, people are flying like crazy. The last couple times I've flown, the planes are packed full. There's no social distancing on an airplane right now.
What are the areas right now that you want to add some social distance to your portfolio? And what are the places where you're, what have you lightened up on? I mean, you've given us examples of what you're buying. What have you been selling or at least trimming?
Some of the high flyers, like the QQQs, the overall small caps have sort of leveled off. These are some of the places where you also have a higher risk. If you do have a correction or there's another economic shock, those are ones that would have the possibility of losing more, let's say, than others. So definitely want to be careful here. And I'm not afraid to hold a little bit of cash. Even though it makes me nothing, I may want to have a little bit of cash in case a client needs some money or we get an opportunity.
Now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some names that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
Scotty, beam me up.
And we're being beamed up today with Andre Weisbrod. He is Director of Wealth Management at Quantum Financial Advisors, QFAinc.com, the website. You know how quick and dirty works. So if you want to get involved, send your name, your hometown, and the ticker symbols you're interested in to Chuck at moneylifeshow.com. We'll add it to our list and hope it makes it into an interview soon. We're going to start you with a softball because you did talk about liking utilities and needing utilities. Richard in Chula Vista, California wants to know about the XLU, the utilities select sector spider.
Well, this is great for the smaller accounts and folks that just want a diversified exposure to utilities. Its downside is that it's limited to the S&P 500 folks there, but it's a solid one, and you can get almost a 3% yield. So, you know, again, to be able to just put it in there as a gotta-have, you can allocate 3, 4, 5% of your portfolio and sleep well.
I'm in this for the long haul.
So it's a long-term buy on XLU, the utility select sector spider.
Next, yeah, I'll hold. I would hold.
You're not adding to it right now.
Not too much. You know, we're adding to the individual utilities. But I wouldn't, in a new account, I wouldn't mind holding a little bit of it.
We're going to go to a very different type of company that at least used to be considered a utility. It's AT&T. Dale in London, Ohio, Rick in York, Pennsylvania, and Mike in Redwood City, California wanted to know about ticker symbol T.
T is very interesting because it has languished for a while, in part because it went overboard on diversification and getting into different kinds of businesses, entertainment, and all of that kind of stuff. But it was producing a huge yield and has been able to support that yield. So we owned it for that reason, and all of a sudden now it's starting to gain in price as well. So if you can get a 6% plus yield and with an upside, I like it.
That is a buy on AT&T Corp, ticker symbol T. Rick in York, Pennsylvania gets our next request to himself. It's the iShares Russell 2000 ETF. The small cap ETF trades under IWM.
That's a great one for asset allocation because it's the entire Russell 2000. It just really rose in the second half of last year and then has leveled off this year. I like it as a core holding. It's vulnerable right now to a correction. That would be the thing I would say.
In other words, it's good ETF, but not good to own right now. You're either holding it or trimming it.
Yeah, a little bit, but not a great amount. I'm not sure it's that far ahead of itself, but it is a little bit high right now.
And now for the profit taking.
That is a hold to a sell, a trim on the iShares Russell 2000 IWM. A very different small cap ETF for John in Natick, Massachusetts. He wants to know about EES, the WisdomTree U.S. Small Cap Earnings ETF.
Yes, I've used that very successfully, and I like the fact that it's not really an actively managed one, but it will change more often than a lot because it really looks back about four quarters, and it focuses on earnings. So a company's got to be making something, i.e. a profit, which is always a good thing. And so I really like that ETF, and that's one that I wouldn't be afraid to buy a little bit of now, even though it is also in a sector that has had its big gains. I mean, we, you know, 6 months ago or so, you would have been a genius to, you know, load up on.
Right. So it's a cautious buy, a soft buy at this time on EES, the WisdomTree U.S. Small Cap Earnings ETF.
Buyer beware, dude.
We'll stay in small caps, but leave the United States. Going back to Richard in Chula Vista, California, wants to know about DLS, the WisdomTree International Small Cap Dividend ETF.
If you're going to be in small caps overseas, this is a pretty good one because it has dividend payers in it. And a lot of times the ones that are continuing to pay dividends are going to be the survivors, especially in this environment. So again, it's another cautious buy because it has had some appreciation, but it still has some room. The international whole scene right now, as we know, you know, with India having a big resurgence of the virus and all of that, there's just a tremendous amount of uncertainty. But again, as a minor position, I do like this ETF.
A minor position, a cautious buy on DLS, WisdomTree International Small Cap Dividend.
Let's make some money.
Let's make one extra pick. Again, for Richard in Chula Vista, we'll change the dividend strategies and we'll stay international. It's the DEM, the WisdomTree Emerging Markets High Dividend ETF.
I first bought this in the fall because I was looking at it and said, okay, it's time to raise my exposure to international. It seemed apparent that we were going to get through in one way or another the whole viral thing. So all of a sudden I said, okay, where do I want to be? Again, I was looking for dividends. I was looking for companies that were established, companies that were paying good dividends. This had it. And what was interesting is in the recent months, it has outperformed the IFA index just in price, and you're getting a 4% yield. Again, a cautious buy, but I like it. I like it for the long haul.
It is a high note, finishing with another buy, even if it is a cautious buy.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
On the DEM, the WisdomTree Emerging Markets High Dividend ETF. And now, well, we've been on board with Andre Weisbrod, but we have to, well, leave him behind because we've come to the end of our time. But Andre, this was great. Thanks so much for doing this. Let's do this again down the line.
All right. Thank you so much.
Andre Weisbrod is Director of Wealth Management for Quantum Financial Advisors. QFAINC.com is the website. And we'll be back to talk about where he agreed or disagreed with some recent guests before we cross the finish line.